I'm very pleased to welcome you to the second Centenary Reflections lecture, a series of lectures that commemorates the outbreak of the Great War in 1914. Just a couple of things. I hope that you'll take advantage of the opportunity to pick up a brochure that gives you a list of the subsequent lectures in the series. There are also some single sheet handouts that give you a summary of tonight's talk. Furthermore, the talk will be recorded and will be available for download on OurSpace, which is the digital repository for the University of Regina. Finally, this evening after tonight's talk, you're all invited to come upstairs to the sixth floor of the library for a wine and cheese reception. I'm going to say a few words by way of introduction to tonight's talk, and then I'll invite the provost and vice president academic, Tom Chase, to introduce our speaker. In October 1916, as the terrible battles of the Somme and Verdun were grinding to a halt, the German War Ministry issued an order that a census be taken of all Jews serving in the army. The census was prompted by a suspicion that Jews were not making their share of sacrifices for the war effort. In fact, Jews were serving and dying in roughly the same proportion as the rest of the population, despite discrimination which prohibited them from becoming officers in the pre-war Prussian army. Nevertheless, the Jew census fanned the flames of anti-Semitism, which moved from the periphery to the center of German politics. In that sense, it was a significant turning point in German history. But growing intolerance toward ethnic minorities was not unique to Germany during the First World War. Anti-Semitism was on the rise in Russia as well. Jews in Russian-occupied Galicia and in Russia itself were subjected to harsh treatment and deportation. As many as 500,000 were displaced from their homes. 200,000 ethnic Germans were also deported from Russian Poland. The most notorious instance of this intensification of ethnic intolerance came in Turkey, where the Allied landings at Gallipoli coincided with the beginning of a series of massacres and deportations that cost the lives of between 500,000 and 1 million Armenians. The first genocide of the 20th century. Nor were the Western democracies immune to this phenomenon, which identified the internal enemy with the external one. In England, there were anti-alien demonstrations in Hyde Park and Trafalgar Square, and in September 1917, anti-Semitic sentiment led to riots in London's East End. In Canada, a new War Measures Act provided the legal basis for the government of Robert Borden to order the registration and internment of German and Ukrainian immigrants. Eventually, 8,000 individuals were interned in 24 labor camps across the country. Many of them worked in harsh conditions to build the infrastructure for Canada's national parks. These civilian internees, many of them from Saskatchewan, are to be counted among the forgotten victims of the First World War. Canada has since come to embrace multiculturalism and to take pride in its cultural mosaic. But the legacy of the First World War in Canada, as elsewhere, was a rise in nationalist xenophobia and ethnic intolerance. Tonight's lecture looks at this legacy in Saskatchewan. So now I'd like to invite Provost and Academic Vice President Tom Chase to introduce our speaker.
Thank you, Ian. I'm going to do three things. The invitation to introduce Jim came this afternoon after Executive Council. And what I'd like to do, therefore, is just recount briefly what I said to Executive Council today, with Jim's permission to read a very brief passage from his most recent book, and then just to say a few things about Jim as a colleague. Executive Council this afternoon, I mentioned that two major books have been published within the last 6 or 8 months at the University of Regina. Jim Daszak's book called Clearing the Plains, published by the University of Regina Press, is now in its third printing, 6,000 hardcover copies, very rare for an academic monograph. And in that book, Jim Daszak tells the story of some of the pillars of Canadian society late in the 19th century, to wit, people like Sir John A. Macdonald and Edgar Dewdney, after whom Dewdney Avenue is named, engaged in a process of systematically trying to displace the Plains Cree, in part through starving them out, hence the title, Clearing the Plains. His book has been longlisted for the BC Book Award, and has been named one of the world's 100 most notable books of the year. Jim Daszak. Tim Pitsula has recently published a book called Keeping Canada's Village, and subtitled in tiny red print, is the Black Plan in 1920 Saskatchewan. This is published by UBC Press. I wish I could say it had been published by the U of R Press, but UBC got to him first, I think. And if you read this book, you will see, as you will with Jim Daszak's book, Canadian history being rewritten before our eyes. This is a book which I've enjoyed greatly. It's a book that's based on heavy primary archival research and primary sources. And Jim, with your permission, I'm just going to read a passage dealing with a certain incident in this city. It is the source for the passage is an article in the Regina Leader, dated 17 February 1928. The title of the Leader report is Plan Policy Announced at Meeting Attended by Audience of Over 2,000. Regina in the 1920s. This is in response to a speech against the plan made by then Premier Jimmy Gardiner of Saskatchewan. The immediate impact of the speech was to prompt the plan to hold a major rally at Regina City Hall. It was a public expression of defiance against the Premier's allegations. The event was not scheduled to begin until 8 o'clock, but by 7, the main floor was filled. And for those of you who are too young to remember, the old Regina City Hall was a kind of gingerbread confection sitting on a site that is now occupied by the Albert Hamilton Building on the north side of the area. If you walk by that building, that is where the old city hall was. So by 7, the main floor was filled. Half an hour later, the stairs leading from the ground floor to the auditorium were packed. People tried to get in by the fire escapes, or they crawled through the windows lining the corridors and along the balconies. Moose Jaw clansmen arrived en masse, and visitors came from as far away as Maple Creek in the southwest corner of the province. Hundreds had to be turned away at the door because not even standing room was left. Just a little bit more of this wonderful writing. The platform was elaborately draped in Union Jacks. A cross in electric lights stood to one side, casting a reddish glow. At 8 o'clock, Reverend Will Sermon, exalted Cyclops of the Regina clan, opened the meeting. Quote, I am a minister of the gospel, and as a minister of the gospel, I see nothing contradictory in the principles which I teach and the principles of the clan to which I belong. Unquote. A more direct repudiation of Premier Gardiner could not have been imagined. And I'll stop there. This will make a wonderful Christmas present. And I would like to say, as a way of bridge into a very brief introduction of Jim, this is the kind of historical research that changes the way that we see ourselves. And it's being done here by people like Jim Pitsula and by Jim Daszak in kinesiology, among many others. I've known Jim, not well, but as a colleague on the same floor of the Adham Building for probably more years than we care to remember. What I have always known is that Jim's courses in Canadian history have been among the most heavily subscribed and most popular offered in the Department of History. Jim has long been known as a superb teacher, as a superb researcher, as a superb writer, as you've just heard the prose style there, and as a genuinely fine, gentlemanly colleague. He is going to be retiring soon, we know that, and we know that with regret. But it's a powerful reminder that the kind of work that he does in the archives, and then through publication in a book of this kind, he takes to the public, to enrich the community, to tell the community something new about itself. Very few people in Regina today could imagine a scene like that, and yet it is not more than 90 years ago, just 5 or 6 minutes by car away from here. So with that introduction, Jim, congratulations on this publication, and we look very much forward to your talk this evening.